Down the Dump Podcast.
I'd like to welcome back Zeb from Welcome to Loud City. Zeb, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
All right, we're going to go through some true and false questions, and then we have a couple questions from a Twitter follower. We'll start with true false.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
First true false is the main issue with the Thunder so far is the coaching.
I'd have to say that's a little bit true, just because I don't think that they've been coached very well to adjust to a world without Russell Westbrook, even if it was just two games. I mean, maybe they knew something I didn't going into the season. Maybe they knew that he was going to come back on the third game, but it sounds like this was a big surprise, because when we heard he was coming back mid-November, we're like, oh, whoa, that's too early. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he comes back now. So there might have been a surprise to the coaching staff too, but or it might not have been a surprise to them. But if it was a surprise to them, then I think that they did a really poor job of preparing for the first month of the season, because we were using the same offensive sets we would use if Russell Westbrook was in the game. We were trying to use Reggie Jackson basically in the same skill set as Russell Westbrook. I mean, we only had three players moving on any given offensive possession. And you just have, like, on every possession, we usually just have three players move or two players move, really simplistic plays that are designed to kind of help out Westbrook and Durant's creativity. But you can't really get that creative of Reggie Jackson because he's just not on that level athletically or in terms of his skill set. So we ended up having a lot of turnovers. I mean, we saw that against the Jazz. It gets really predictable. They know exactly where the players are going to be. And you don't have that talent to kind of pull you out. And then they can just trap Durant and every time that he's got the ball. So I think that coaching is a serious part of why we weren't so successful in the first two games. But going forward, I don't think that it will be our main problem just because we have that talent back.
What do you think about Scott Brooks as a coach?
I think that he's about mid-level. I mean, I think that we've got probably around the 15th best coach in the league. I mean, it's not, you know, it's always a gamble if you fire him and get someone else, because you don't know if there's going to be any drama or anything like that, or how good they're going to be. But I mean, it's not all just about the coach. It's also about the offensive and defensive coordinators, basically, if you want to call them that, you know, the assistant coaches. And like back when we had Ron Adams, who is with the Chicago Bulls now, I believe.
Right.
We had a lot better of a defense than we do now. So I think it's also to do with assistant coaches. But in terms of Scott Brooks, we have absolutely no drama, nothing like that. So you got to be appreciative for things like that. He keeps everybody under control. Everybody's bought into the game plan. And I think that's a huge part of it that people forget. But in terms of actual strategy and how he carries things out and how he experiments, I think that he definitely has a huge amount of room for improvement.
Sure. Second question, Serge Ibaka is trying to do too much with the ball. True or false?
Definitely true. He is playing like he's Hakeem Olajuwon right now, I'd say. I mean, I think he's had classes from him in the past, but who hasn't? But regardless, Serge Ibaka is just shooting really big, sweeping hook shots. I mean, he's trying as hard as he can to be a guy who can create his own shot, you know, just really, really shooting shots that will almost never go in. And it's kind of really disappointing to see that he can't just find this one or two really good moves to where he could consistently get to the basket and score. So, I mean, it's nice to see him try and develop that, but I would rather just see him try and develop a three-point shot and just be like a consistent three-point shooter, mm-hmm. rather than just taking it down to the post and just pump faking 100 times and throwing away a turnaround hook shot that just clanks off the rim.
I am totally with you. I love Serge Ibaka. I think that he is a high-level role player who does a few things really well. I mean, he shoots the mid-range jumper as a big man just about as well as anybody, and he's also an elite shot blocker. And I wish he would just stick to being great at those things instead of trying to be all right with other parts of his game. Because if he could, I think if he would just stick with that, it spaces the floor so much better. And it doesn't, I don't know, he clearly looks like he's trying to do too much, is why I put this question in here. But yeah, I would rather see him concentrate on the things that we know that he's great at and just kind of perfecting those portions of his game.
Yeah, well, he's a relentless perfectionist. I mean, I think that he has the mentality that he wants to be the greatest at everything, but sometimes you got to slow that down.
Mm-hmm. So this third question is one that has come to a huge surprise to me from, you know, our previous podcast, but Steven Adams deserves more minutes.
I mean, it's easy to look at the stat line and say, yes, he deserves more minutes, but I would definitely go out on a limb and say, no, he does not deserve more minutes. I think that it's great that he's getting minutes, and he should continue to get minutes. He deserves what he gets. He's a really good rebounder. He can defend adequately, and he can get some nice shots near the rim. But other than that, he's still a rookie, and he's still learning. I mean, in Sunday's game against the Jazz, he was responsible basically for a six-point swing in the first quarter. Or not against the Jazz. The game, what was the middle game that we played? Who did we play?
The Timberwolves?
The Timberwolves, yeah. In the Timberwolves game, he was responsible for a six-point swing in the first quarter. Completely lost Pekovic on one play. Committed two really needless fouls while the Thunder were in the bonus. I think both of them were off-ball fouls. One of them was the foul against Ricky Rubio on the perimeter, totally unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And then he committed an off-ball foul while our offense was setting up while they were in the bonus, giving them two free throws. I think last night he committed an off-ball foul again while the other team was in the bonus. Just an unforgivable sin, in my opinion. He loses his defender sometimes. Kevin Love totally trashed him in the third quarter of the other game. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to be good in the NBA. I'm just saying that he's definitely still learning, and there's a lot of mistakes out there that the average fan might not see that he's making, so I don't want him out there just 20, 25 minutes a game because I think it's going to hurt the Thunder too much. When you have him 10, 15 minutes, I think that's an appropriate amount of time.
I love him. I think Steven Adams is going to be awesome.
Yeah, in 1 year, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I think it doesn't take a whole lot to be better than Kendrick Perkins, and I think if he could get that experience and maybe learn from his mistakes, I think he's going to be a fantastic player. And fantastic on, you know, I'm grading on a curve here of Thunder centers. So,
yeah.
But I really like Steven Adams. Fourth question. Scott Brooks will continue to go small.
I think I'm going to say maybe. I don't know if I could say true or false on that one. I mean, I think I'll say true just because I think that he's going to experiment with different types of lineups. I mean, I think in tonight's game he showed a willingness to work with 10 players, which I think is important because I think that at the peak of the Thunder success, they had Daquan Cook and Nazir Muhammad as the 9th and 10th men, and they put in valuable minutes. So if we could have Lamb, Adams, and Jones or Roberson in that 10 spot, mm-hmm. then getting consistent minutes, then I think that we'll definitely see lots of different types of lineups. And it really worked last night, Sunday, against the Suns, because we had three point guards in the lineup, and Scott Brooks just said, okay, we're just going to outscore you, plain and simple. And we scored, I think, 36 points in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And we exploited offensive matchups. I mean, Derek Fisher was able to get draw a matchup against power forward, pump fake him to go into the lane. I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw Derek Fisher score points in the lane, but that was pretty awesome. So, more small, yes, more experimentation overall. Yeah,
I'm excited just seeing those lineups and actually seeing Perry Jones get some minutes because I think he's super skilled and it's going to take some time to work him in if he's actually going to play some minutes, just to see, you know, where can I play this guy? He can't guard all the threes in the league, and he definitely can't guard all the fours in the league. So when can we get this guy in? Is he just going to be a second quarter, you know, late second quarter type guy? I mean, I don't know. I like what Brooks is doing with the smaller lineups. I think this team is well suited for that. Question five, Perry Jones will continue to get minutes.
I think that's true. I hope it's true because, I mean, he definitely deserves it. Defensively, he's a little bit of a liability. I wouldn't say as much as Adams, but, I mean, I've seen him lose his man not looking a couple times just because I've reviewed the footage of the games. But I think that he, as long as he scores offensively, then he's definitely more, and he continues to rebound to do other things. He's more of an asset than a liability. And I think that he can... I think that, you know, as long as you can get him out there, get him shooting the three-point shot, I mean, that's, you know, you need those floor spacers, especially power forward. He's a great flex four when Kevin Durant can't be in the game, so say if Scott Brooks wants to go small, and then he says, like, oh, but we need a power forward while Kevin Durant's not in, put him in there. I mean, just give him the 10 to 15 minutes behind KD, just cutting into Cephalosha's minutes or Lamb's minutes or whatever, and I think that he'll eventually become a productive player.
Yeah, I like Jones. I like what I've seen from him so far. in these few games, and I'm kind of excited to see a different rotation of players out there. Question six, Tabo Sefolosha will get back into the flow of the offense now that Russell Westbrook is back.
I think I'm going to have to put a maybe on that. I know I, but this is the only true maybe that I'm going to put out there, because Tabo Sefolosha is just so unpredictable. I mean, we saw him in the first game. We thought, oh, this guy's going to be a real part of the offense. He's going to be scoring 10 to 15 points a game. This is great. And then he just totally regresses in the past two games. And he's doing exactly the same thing. I mean, he's going into the lane. He's making decisions offensively. He's being a good ball handler. But he just, you don't know whether he's going to make the baskets or not. It's just, is he feeling good that day? Is he feeling bad that day? You don't know. We do know that he's never going to be a consistent 10 points per game offensive threat. I mean, that's just not ever going to happen. But as to whether, is he going to be part of the ball movement, be part of the offense? And if Russell Westbrook wasn't here, I would say yes, because he was definitely making a move to being towards more of a ball handling shooting guard like James Harden in those first two games. But now that Russ is back, I think he's going to kind of migrate more back to shooting corner threes and maybe driving the baseline once in a while.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I'm hoping that Tabo is going to start hitting his threes like he did last season and kind of fill that 3-and-D role, kind of a Bruce Bowen type role for him rather than a more prominent role. Last true false question, Derek Fisher is good.
He's good. I'm gonna have to say, if we're talking playoffs, it's true. If we're talking regular season, it's false. I mean, okay. I don't know. I mean, based on, he actually did really well in the last game, scored two essential points in the fourth quarter, but he still just gets absolutely abused on defense. And he really saved our butts during the playoffs in the past couple of years. He's just had these really great crunch time charging calls or passing the ball or shooting it just right exactly when you need it. So I definitely am on the roster for the playoffs. But during the regular season, he has too many games where he's just 0-3, one turnover, didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it just happens too often. So more often than not, he's bad. But, I mean, when you need him to be good, absolutely need him, he's good. So I'm glad he's on the roster.
Yeah. I don't hate having him on the roster. I just wish that he didn't play as much as he did, and even a game last night. I know he played well. He made key plays. You know, I give all the credit to him, but I would really like to see Jeremy Lamb get those minutes and kind of see what he can do with a group that was finishing the game last night rather than seeing Derek Fisher. But I do appreciate some of the things that he does on the court. Okay, so we got two questions from Dustin Talley at D_Talley. His first question is, what's the best crunch time lineup with two bigs? What's the best lineup with one big?
Well, what I'm hoping to like about the Thunder this year is that they're going to use different types of different crunch time lineups. Mm-hmm. But just so that you can just kind of adjust it to whoever you're playing or whoever's good at the matchup or whatever. But in general, like who do I think is the best overall? I think that Nick Collison and Serge Ibaka obviously are the best two bigs at being out in crunch time, and then obviously you have Durant and Westbrook, and then either Jackson or Sefolosha, depending on who they need to match up defensively against or who's having the hotter night. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's your best general lineup, just because Ibaka and Collison are both kind of interchangeable. They can both guard different types of bigs pretty efficiently. There's nobody that's really going to trash them, whereas, like, Perk is more useful in specific situations. But when you have just one big, I think it just really depends on who's hot that night. If Ibaka is a serious part of the offense, which he wasn't last night, then you put out Collison. Collison's never really going to be a serious part of the offense, but he's going to do the other things really well. Whereas I think Ibaka's maybe a little bit more of an emotional player and won't do everything as well. So, you know, it just depends on who's hot that night. But obviously Ibaka and Collison are two best bigs, and it's still kind of illogical that we don't have them playing together as much as we do.
Yeah, it's crazy. What do you think about playing Durant at the four?
Durant, I like it just because I think he's better in the post than he is on the perimeter. I mean, we saw it on Sunday against the Timberwolves. He got trapped a million times. I think it happened to the Jazz, too. I mean, he got trapped a million times. Got a lot of key turnovers in the first loss against the Jazz. I mean, he's an adequate ball handler, and he can definitely handle it on his own most of the time. But, you know, he's better in the post just because he's bigger and he can do that turnaround jump shot. I mean, if he was a little bit bigger, I mean, he'd be Dirk Nowitzki, plain and simple.
Last question from Dustin Talley. Last season, OKC was third in three-point percentage. This year, they are last. Is this a sample size blip or a long-term issue?
Well, I think that we've definitely gotten worse. Without Kevin Martin, you lose a whole amount of three-point shooting. And then you saw... But I think what's also contributed to that is the fact that Reggie Jackson has taken a ton of threes in these first three games. And just because he's been left open, and Serge Ibaka, I think, I don't know if he's been shooting a good percentage, but he's taken a couple while his game's been off. And so I think those really contributed to how bad we've been. But I think it'll eventually recover. Jeremy Lamb is somebody to get excited about from three-point range, because I've seen 66er games where he spots up 4 or 5 feet behind the line and can hit that shot almost consistently, like J.R. Smith or Kobe Bryant. So that's something to get excited about in terms of threes. So I think that it'll eventually even out. And then you've also got Perry Jones, who can shoot the corner three. So I think that once we get our younger players in the rotation and we stop giving it to Reggie Jackson at any occasion for shooting a three, then I think it'll even out. But we're definitely worse than last year, no matter how you look at it.
Okay, a follow-up question from that would be, what are your thoughts on Jeremy Lamb as his game looks right now?
I think that he's just going to be really off and on, really inconsistent. I mean, we saw it in the summer league. He had one really good game and a bunch of bad games. We saw it in the preseason. He had one really good game against the Bulls and then a bunch of bad games. So I think the important thing for him, and that has been really good in these first three games, is that he's been able to play within himself. He hasn't had too many turnovers. He hasn't had too many bad days. If he's having a bad day, he kind of fades out rather than forcing the issue, which he doesn't need to on this team because we've got other options. So I think the important thing is just finding plays that work for him, finding maybe a partner like a Nick Collison that he can go to consistently. I think because James Harden had a really great two-man game with Nick Collison. I'd love to see that again with Jeremy Lamb. And just continuing to work on, you know, getting shots that you can consistently hit night to night.
Awesome. Well, Zeb, thanks for coming on the Down to Dunk podcast. We'll be sure to check out Welcome to Loud City. Also, check out the Down Dunk Podcast at DTD Podcast. Also look us up on iTunes. You'll have to search Down to Dunk. Leave us a review. And thanks for listening. Thanks a lot, Zeb.
Thank you. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.